Move on to the next case in the morning. United States versus Horatio Badillo. Ms. Feinstein?
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Emily Feinstein from Quarles & Brady, representing the appellant, Horatio Badillo. We are here today because legal errors were committed at Mr. Badillo's sentencing, and we ask that this court correct those errors. I have two issues that I'd like to discuss today. First of all, we believe the trial court improperly denied Mr. Badillo's request for a mitigating role adjustment. A defendant is eligible for a mitigating role adjustment if he is substantially less culpable than the other participants in the conspiracy, and this court will reverse the trial court's decision for clear error when the trial court did not state what evidence it credits or fully articulate why the request was denied. And that's exactly what happened in this case, Your Honors. We don't know who the trial court compared Mr. Badillo's conduct to. We don't know what standard was applied. This court has reversed in other cases for that exact same reason, where it's not clear why the mitigating role adjustment was denied, who the conduct was compared to, and where the trial court doesn't specifically articulate its reasons. That's exactly what happened here. The trial court said that it recognized that Mr. Badillo was not a major participant or even a significant participant, but did not clearly compare Mr. Badillo's conduct to that of the other participants in the conspiracy and didn't fully articulate its reason for denying the request.
Didn't he, though, more or less indicate his agreement with the government's view of this case? Raul Perez, Clarence Petit, he was less culpable than, but then there were these other one-time unloaders as opposed to multiple-time unloaders that he was more culpable than, and the court made a finding that he didn't meet the minor participant standard.
Your Honor, what the trial court did is he said he agreed with the government's reading of the guidelines. It's not clear that he adopted the government's view of the facts in this case, and the problem with if he had adopted the government's view of the facts, the government misstated the facts.
But
the
government said they're using it, and he said the facts of the guidelines tell you it's a comparative fault situation, and he indicates that taking that comparative perspective, Badillo doesn't qualify. Badillo is somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. The problem is, Your Honor, and as this court has said, he needs to specifically lay out where Badillo is, and that's not done here. And the bigger question is, somewhere in the middle of what? Of who? Is he comparing him just to the co-defendants, the people that were arrested in Chicago, or is he comparing him to everybody that we know from the testimony and the evidence at trial was involved in this conspiracy?
What did that point tell you? You made that point in your brief, and I wasn't sure what we were supposed to take from that. I had the impression he was just comparing it to the six or seven people in the indictment, but why does that matter?
It matters, Your Honor, because the evidence is that there was this large conspiracy. Clarence Petit testified that he was involved in some 13 or 14 loads transporting marijuana throughout the country, and he also testified that there were other truck drivers that were transporting marijuana with him. We know that there must have been brokers and other people involved in these other cities throughout the country.
We've seen Mr. Petit before here, as a matter of fact, in one guise or another. But you're stuck with the fact, though, that Badillo admits to unloading several times, and there were at least four of his co-defendants who were one-time transaction people. On a clear error standard, why isn't that enough?
Because we're not looking at what his co-defendants did. We're looking at the entire scope of the conspiracy here. It's not clear. It's clear that there are other people who also unloaded more than one time. It's clear that there are other people who were involved in this conspiracy at a higher level who were involved in it for almost every load. Raul Perez is one of them, but there are also indication in the evidence that he has brothers and Juan Garza, his brother-in-law, who was flown to Chicago as opposed to Badillo, who drove up to Chicago. It's clear that when you look at the entire scope of the conspiracy and all the other people involved, Badillo's role as providing manual labor occasionally makes him mitigating, gives him a minor role. The problem is the trial court needs to make that finding. This court can't substitute its judgment for that of the trial court. Your Honor,
Is there anything in the record with Poteet? He's the big runner, right? He's the one that makes hundreds of thousands of dollars, I guess.
Yes.
And drives all over the country. That's what, he got a semi or something?
He had several semi trucks, yes.
Okay, well, he's big time, and I assume he's, wherever he is, he's there for a long time. Although he testified, which, you know, he's obviously blowing the whistle on everybody else. Is there anything in the record that shows how much Badillo got paid?
No, Your Honor. There's a suggestion that Badillo got paid, was going to be paid $400, I believe, for this load, and that he may have gotten about I guess I don't remember a distinct reference in the record to how much he would have been paid for these prior loads that he admitted to.
Well, if he's trying to compare himself to everyone else, it just seems to me that would have been handy. I only got $300, where this other guy's getting hundreds of thousands.
And that's
we apparently don't have that.
That's true, Your Honor. That's one of the problems with the sentencing here, is that there's simply not enough evidence. That's my second point. Not enough evidence to support the base offense level for Mr. Badillo. Mr. Badillo, the government has the burden at sentencing to prove by preponderance of the evidence the quantity of drugs by which the defendant...
Well, I'm talking about the minor participant. Now, we're talking about quantity of drugs and whether he had six loads and 6,000 or more than 6,000. Something else. I was referring to the minor participant. He's really trying to get to be minor.
I think those two points, though, are matched up, Your Honor, because the problem is how much evidence is in the record. You're right, there isn't a lot of...
How did the district judge know? I mean, did somebody actually say to Judge Daigle, now that you've ruled that he's not entitled to the minor participant adjustment, we're going to complain that you haven't supported your finding with an adequate statement of your reasons. That's a slightly different complaint than saying that he shouldn't have gotten the minor participant. Your focus really is on the adequacy of the district court judge's findings, and if no one ever told the district court judge that he wasn't doing what he should have been doing, it's a little bit hard to complain about now.
Your Honor, the cases I have looked at, the cases that have been cited in our brief, specifically address that the finding of the district court is insufficient. I haven't seen any case or any rule that tells the defendants that they have to point that out to the district court, that they have to make more findings than that.
But wouldn't that be a sensible rule? It would be so easy for Judge Daigle. If somebody said to him at the time, or any district court judge, we don't think there are enough findings in the record, and that's going to be our argument on appeal, the district court could say, fine, I'll submit an opinion afterwards. I mean, he could give you the reasons, which would help not only the defendant, but also the Court of Appeals on review.
I agree, Your Honor. I think part of the problem in this case is that Mr. Badillo was a minor role and should have been given his minor role adjustment. The other part of the problem is there was just so much confusion going on at this sentencing hearing. Mr. Badillo was clearly sentenced based on Mr. Poteet's conduct, even though there was no evidence linking Mr. Badillo to Mr. Poteet's prior conduct. And I think that's part of what happened with both the mitigating role adjustment and both his base offense level calculation. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if that's
sure.
All right.
Ms. Murphy.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. Good morning. My name is Madeline Murphy, and I'm appearing on behalf of the United States, and I'm asking you to affirm the trial court's decision in this case. Number one, to credit this defendant with enough marijuana to equal a level 34 guideline range, and number two, to its decision that this defendant was not a minor participant. I'd first like to address the argument raised in Badillo's reply brief to the effect that the court should have compared his conduct not only to the defendants in this case, but to other known participants in the case. This argument was not raised in the trial court, and it was not raised in Badillo's opening brief. So therefore, it ought to be waived and not to be considered by the court. But even if the court does consider it, it doesn't change the analysis at all. Badillo brought up four individuals in his reply brief in support of his argument that he was a minor participant, an individual by the name of Lavaca, an unnamed brother of Raul Perez, Mark Reed, and James Deeds. If we look at the record concerning these four individuals, it doesn't change the analysis at all. Number one, the only evidence in the record that Lavaca existed was in a statement made by Badillo prior to trial that he abandoned by the time that he went to trial. In his testimony at trial, he never mentioned an individual by the name of Lavaca, and frankly, there's no credible evidence in the record that Lavaca even existed. So the court, even if the court had been asked to consider Badillo's role, as opposed to Lavaca's role. The court would have correctly found that there's no evidence that Lavaca did anything in this case. Moving on to Mark Reed and James Deeds. There's evidence in the record that these two individuals were co-drivers with Clarence Poteet. Mark Reed drove for approximately, I believe, 6 of the 14 trips along with Clarence Poteet, and James Deed drove for approximately 5 of the trips along with Clarence Poteet. Clearly these individuals were more culpable than Badillo, but they still didn't tip the scale to make Badillo less culpable than most participants in this analysis. We had 10 defendants at trial, and considering these additional persons, that would include a universe of 13 individuals involved in the offense here. We know that at least 7 of the individuals would have been less credible than Badillo. Juan Paleo, Daniel Paleo Landazuri, Sergio Paleo, Lugardo Gutierrez, Aaron Quintero Bravo, and Rodrigo Torres. All of these individuals showed up in Chicago to unload the marijuana, and there is no evidence that these individuals were involved in any more than one load, with the exception of some evidence that Sergio Paleo may have been involved in 2 loads. So that's 6 participants who are clearly less culpable than the defendant. A 7th participant, clearly less culpable than he, would have been Raul Perez's brother, who is mentioned once in the transcript. Clarence Poteet indicated that Raul Perez's brother showed him where to go to unload in December of 1999 on the December of 1999 load in Chicago. Clearly this is an individual, based on what we know in the record, that was involved in one load and involved only to the extent that he showed the driver where to go to unload. So that is 7 individuals out of the 13 that are clearly less culpable than the defendant.
Ms. Murphy, what do you think about the point of the district court's independent obligation to make adequate findings of fact versus the idea that counsel has to say something to the district court about the inadequacy to preserve this as an appeal point?
From the context of the transcript, it's clear that the district court agrees with the government's assessment of the facts. And also from the context of the argument, you can see, Judge, that the basic argument made by Badillo below was not that any individual persons were, with the exception of the mention of the name of Poteet and Perez, his argument wasn't that the defendant was so much a minor participant. His argument was almost exclusively the defendant is not a major participant. He didn't participate in all the loads. He didn't receive the lion's share of the money. So it is understandable that the judge, seeing that the factual dispute here was not how minor he was, but rather how major he was, that the court would not address more specifically who was more minor than the defendant, if that answers your question, Judge.
Yeah, that's good enough. And I wonder if you could talk about this link. There was a huge amount of confusion, I thought, about whether there was an agreement to a total number of kilograms of marijuana in all of the loads, or whether it was the prior loads, in which case it's a pointless argument because obviously he's over the amount. Exactly how much he said he was agreeing to is to me not at all clear on this record.
Judge, if you look at the transcripts, the DO's counsel below stated, defendant admits to 6. Well, through impeachment, he admitted when he was originally interviewed to about 6 loads.
Right, and see, that's what I was trying to think. If it's 6 altogether, then it would include this 350-some-odd load. If it's 6 in addition to this load, then of course there's plenty to justify the sentence. How can we tell what the person means at that stage in the transcript?
What the DO's counsel refers to is, he says, assuming from relevant conduct with 6 loads, about 1,000 pounds a load that he would be responsible for. We know that the load involved in the offense and conviction was 3,200 pounds.
Well, I
so
know
that
it,
could not be one of the 6 that he is talking about.
Oh, but it could if he thinks some of the other loads were 100 pounds or 250 pounds, because an average of 1,000 pounds per load could accommodate one load with 3,200 pounds and another load of 50 pounds, and right away you're getting near an average of 1,500. And if you had a couple of 100-pound loads, you could do this. I mean, the math would work out with 6 loads. So I just don't. It was not clear to me what the man was admitting to, as opposed to things that were in the record that the district court might have chosen to credit.
Judge Greer, he says he is responsible for about 6,000, assuming from relevant conduct with six loads, about 1,000 pounds a load that he would be responsible for.
Right. I mean, I remember that phrase, and that's what I found to be a bit opaque.
It appears because he's not mentioning the 3,200-pound load that we have a conviction on, so we know that that's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt, that he is not including the 3,200-pound in those six loads, Judge. But even if he is, for the purpose of argument, saying that one of those six loads was the 3,200-pound load, then he still would be over the line for level 34, the 6,600 pounds, because there would be left five loads at 1,000 pounds per load.
It's assuming they're all 1,000 pounds each, not an average of the six with the 32 thrown in. But I understand. I thought there was another load also, right?
Based on his admissions of 6,000 pounds and 1,000 pounds a load, Judge, it does not appear that he argued below that there were smaller loads involved here. It appears from the transcript
but
he's conceding.
The 3,200 was attributed to him in addition to that, as I understand.
That is correct, Judge. That is correct.
I thought he was arguing here that he had admitted to some other loads with Perez that were substantially smaller in quantity. Maybe not.
He did not, quote-unquote, admit to those, Judge. Mr. Padillo gave a number of different versions of the offense. In one of his pretrial interviews, he admitted to six prior loads. In another of his pretrial interviews, he admitted to two prior loads, one for 150 pounds, one for 100 pounds.
That's
at trial, he did not
right.
admit to any prior loads. So it's understandable how the court would credit Mr. Poteet's version of the facts, that all of these loads were at least 1,000 pounds, then Mr. Badillo's version of the facts, which seemed to change every few weeks or months right up to and including trial, as to specifically what he did and what he had not done. The evidence actually is unequivocal based on the trial record that each load contained at least 1,000 pounds, because the only evidence concerning the amount of the load that Badillo presented at trial when he presented his coercion defense was concerning the load at issue in the offense of conviction. There's no evidence in the record that the other loads were less than 1,000 pounds. And given the circumstances where Clarence Poteet testified consistently to the amounts of the loads, literally from the day that he was arrested and he made up his chart, right on up to and including trial, it is understandable that the court would credit his version of the events over Mr. Padillo's version of the events, which changed periodically right up until the day of trial. So for these reasons, I'll ask that the court affirm the district court's sentence, both as to the amount of relevant conduct and as to the minor role, the refusal to give a minor role adjustment. Thank you.
Thanks. Ms. Feinstein, do you have anything else?
The government continues to assume that Mr. Badillo can be sentenced based on Mr. Petit's prior conduct. Mr. Petit consistently, they say, said 1,000 pounds a load, 1,000 pounds a load. But Mr. Petit never linked Mr. Badillo to any of his prior loads. Look, I encourage Your Honors to review, scour the record as I have, to read all of Mr. Petit's testimony at trial. He never linked Mr. Badillo to any prior loads. And Mr. Petit didn't testify at sentencing, so the only evidence we have about Mr. Petit is his testimony at trial. He never linked those loads to Mr. Badillo, so it's not fair to sentence Mr. Badillo based on that conduct. And I also want to address this confusion at sentencing and what Mr. Badillo's counsel may or may not have admitted to. The best I can make out of this is what he's arguing for is, at most, we can link Mr. Badillo to under 6,000 or under pounds. I think there's definitely a statement in there where he says, oh, we'll estimate 1,000 pounds per load. But the last sentence that he makes to the trial court, which would be on page 6 of the sentencing transcript, is, I think what we're talking about here is 6,000 pounds, which is a level 32. That's clearly the statement, clearly the final argument that he is making. He may have been a little confused in some of the statements that he made, but the trial court clearly understood that he was arguing for a 32 because the trial court had to make a finding of fact that he was involved with more than 7,000 pounds. And that's the whole point of our appeal, is that finding of fact is clearly erroneous. because there's just simply no evidence in the record to link Mr. Badillo to more than 6,000 pounds of marijuana. And for those reasons, we ask that this court vacate the sentence and remand this case back to the district court so that Mr. Badillo can be properly sentenced. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Case will be taken under advisement.